My father was with his new wife, and I could not get along with her because I loved my mother. And on the 6th of April, 1941, the Nazis attacked Yugoslavia after very stormy happenings before. My father was a Prague coffee house Jew. Life in Prague for men was lived in the cafe where they had, you could have a waiter, one waiter for your whole life, you know, because he knew you. You came to the same cafe and he did not ask what you would desire to have. He would bring it. What he was used to, he would bring the newspaper that my father would read, and then a friend would come and they played chess. You know, and my father was an excellent chess player, and he taught me to play chess, but I was not an excellent chess player. I didn't have the foresight. I was more impulsive. And every evening he said, come on, let's play chess. And I played because I loved my father, I honored him. I would not contradict him. And he never gloated. I never won, you know. And then that day when the Nazis attacked Yugoslavia, we were sitting, we had a little house rented in Yugoslavia. It was standing near a cornfield, and it was in April, and the corn was just starting to come out. And I had put the pawns on the chessboard already, and he, with his hand, very gently, wiped them off the chessboard, the pawns, and he said, Jan, tonight I'm going to kill myself. And I remember this moment very vividly because I could not feel it. You know, it was so stunning that I could not feel the blow, that I would be alone in a very hostile world, and that the wisdom and the love of my father was no longer be with me. And he said, and what about you? I said, I will live, Father. And I said, why are you doing that? He said, this is the only freedom that is left to me, to us. He said it in a plural, to die our own way, because tomorrow they will be here. They will strip us naked, shave our heads, put us into camps, and in the end they will kill us anyhow. So I chose to take this last of my freedoms, to die my own way, and I will do that. And I said, how will you kill yourself? And he said, I am prepared, I have pills. My wife, her name was Margaret, and we are going to die together. Now, I will give you the rest of the money I have here. For us, was not much. And then he had a gold chain with Napoleon d'Ors, with gold coins from Napoleon's times. He put it around my neck and said, so you have all we have. Go to your room, please. I will call you. I sat in the room, and my head was in a whirl. I still was not able to realize what was going to happen. And then he called me, and he was in his best suit on the bed, shoes, everything, and his wife was to his right side. And he said, sit, pull up a chair. I took already the pills, so don't worry, and let us talk. So we held hands, and he had hands that were like a piano player's hands, very fine hands. And I don't remember anything that was said there. I don't remember anything. And then I had this horrible thought that I felt enormously guilty about nearly my whole life, until I read Elie Wiesel's Night, where the same thing happened to him. I saw my father breathing, and I thought, die fast so that I can run. And then he died. and his wife was already dead. And I opened the window and jumped out of the window and took a back road to the railroad track, and I jumped on a freight train that went from Novomesto to Ljubljana, the capital of Slovenia. And there, my father had told me, go to Mr. Bolafio. Mr. Bolafio was a Sephardic Jew. He did business with my father. He might help you. And I rang the bell, and he opened, and he saw me, and I started to say what had happened, and I made a step forward to enter. But he put out his hand and said, please don't come in. You cannot come in. Do you need money? And I said, no. And I turned around and left. These were the times of open doors and closed doors. Most of the doors were closed because of the fear the Nazis and the fascists inspired. So I left. I slept under a tree in the park in Ljubljana, and when I teach American exchange students in Prague at Charles University now, I take them down to Ljubljana and to the place
to the tree
where my father died, to Novo Mesto, and I show them in the park, this is the tree where I slept. It is still here, you see. I slept Amazing. Under this tree.
Amazing.
And in the morning, I bought a knapsack and some food and a little compass.
You were one step ahead of the Nazis, of course.
Yes, I was one step ahead. And I took the train to the border between Italy, fascist Italy, and Yugoslavia, a town called Rakek. And in Rakek, I got off, and it was dark already, and I found the Sava River. The Sava is an alpine river, a glacier river, that joins the Danube in Beograd, in Belgrade, the Sava. And it was the 7th of April, 41, and I swam across the Sava River, which is a very fast river, and it was ice cold. I went to the other side. I had put my clothes on my head and stripped it to my head with my belt, and from there I walked for a week to Trieste in Italy. I walked only at night, and at daytime I rested.
Did anybody help?
Not then. But later, yes. And I threw away my passport, my Czechoslovak passport, which had stamped over it Protectorat, Böhmen and Mähren, the German occupation. But there was a J in the passport, meaning Jude or Jew, and I threw it away in the woods. I had another identification because I had been a soldier just prior to the Munich Conference in 38. I was not 18 yet. And I was a soldier, and I had a demobilization paper with a photograph, and religion was not mentioned in Czechoslovak documents. There was a strict division from official documents and religion, which I think, by the way, is a very sound idea to divide it, because I think that to have faith or not to have faith is a very private and intimate situation, and it's nobody's business. And to be part of a religion is a choice. Frequently, you are born into a religion. You don't choose it. Therefore, I don't like if people say, I'm proud of this or that nationality because we have done nothing to be it. It's an accident that we are born like that. So I'm a Czech Jew, and I cannot say I'm proud of it or non-proud of it. It's a fact. I'm a Czech Jew from the beginning and to the end.
So let me ask you, as long as we've taken this little diversion, what would you think about politicians in this country who would do away with what we call the separation of church and state?
I think that is a great mistake. And I think that the founding fathers were wise men because, again, they had a view into the future. And because they knew from historical experience, which they had, Jefferson, John Quincy Adams, and others, great men, had it. And they knew that it is the structure that always has killed the ideal or the idea. And it was the work of genii, to make the structure, the idea proper, the division of state from religion and the division of power. I think that is a very simple but a very great idea. And I like this country if it would be only because of that.
But we're on a journey with you now. You've gotten to Italy?
That's correct, yes.
Tell us what happened.
Well, I came to Trieste and I was shaky, physically shaky. I had little food, but I had eaten already. I was conspicuous because I was unshaven and disheveled. And I thought for a moment, why don't you finish the whole thing, go to the police and denounce yourself? But that was a moment. But that moment could very easily have, as a consequence, the collapse of personality, which happens with fear and with loneliness. But I was taken inside in a house where there was a store of milk, eggs, cheese, and bread with a Slovene name. And I could speak Slovene pretty well because Slavic languages are very similar. So I went in, and there was a huge lady standing behind the counter, and she was talking to another lady. Sometimes she looked at me, I stood back, and she saw that something was not quite right. And the lady left, and I came forward, and I said, "Imam problema, I have problem." And I told her, and she called Anton, and her husband came, and she was a very hefty lady, but confidence-inspiring, a very good face. And her husband came, and he was a little very thin man, and he was like, with a huge mustache, and he looked like the tailor in fairy tales, you know. Mm. And I later, when I think of them frequently, I can imagine her taking her husband on her arms and bringing him to bed and covering him up with a comfort, with a blanket. That is what they did to me because I was exhausted. They gave me a bed. They fed me. And because everything was rationed, it was a war. Mussolini entered the war and they kept me there, which was life-threatening for them, but they did it.
Why did they do it?
Because they had a heart, and they see there's a man from Czechoslovakia. We always have been friends. Because they were Slovenes, we will take him in. I said that that was a time of open doors and closed doors. Mm. Bolafio closed the door into my face, and I remember him with contempt. But these people I remember with love. And then they brought in, after 14 days there, they brought in two very tall people. They came from Montenegro, and they were Yugoslav partisans. Trieste has a large Slavic minority. And they introduced themselves and said they were fierce-looking, very tall people. And they said, "Where do you want to go? We will help you." And I said, "I want to go to unoccupied France. I want to go to Marseille," and they say that there is a Czech officer in civilian suit who helps people to Northern Africa and from there to England. I would like to join our Air Force in Great Britain. They said, "How are you supposed to do that?" And I said, "Well, I have some money left. I can buy a ticket." He said, "No, you can't, because you have to have travel permit from the Italian police if you go from one place to another, because they want to have their tabs on everybody." So I said, "Then I can hitchhike." "Don't," they say, "because they will catch you at the first corner. It's forbidden in this country to do that. And you have to go as we do." And I asked, "How do you go?" He said, "We hold on to the undercarriage of railroad wagons." And then they painted what it looked like under the car, where to hold on and how to travel. And then they said, "We will take you to the railroad station." And there was a blackout, you know, so it was not difficult to get there. And we bought three platform tickets, and they took me there, and he said, "This is the train you go. That is Venezia Mestre, Milano, Genoa, Ventimiglia, Sanremo. And then you have to go across the border. We don't know it there. It can't help you there, but you have to do it yourself."